This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks again for joining us here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, joining us on the show is Dr. Thelma Reese, author of the new Senior Man, Exploring New Horizons, New Opportunities. She is here to speak with us about an entirely new concept of retirement. What baby boomer men face when they finish working has little to do with what their fathers faced, according to retirement and aging expert Dr. Thelma Reese. Retirement is a far longer phase of life and it's filled with possibilities. The trick for aging men is not so much what to do. They can do nearly anything they want to do. It's how to do it and get the most out of it. Dr. Reese, a pleasure to have you with us today on the show.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's my pleasure to be here.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. Looking forward to hearing from you as well. So first of all, what prompted you to write this book, The New Senior Man? And can you talk to us about your experiences on your book tour for your first book?
The first book was about women, and it was called The New Senior Woman. And really, it was written because my writing partner, Dr. Barbara Fleischer, and I were reaching our senior years and realizing that we didn't really have a roadmap about how to do this. Our lives were so different from any lives that we knew of our mothers, grandmothers certainly, and we looked around and found many, many people who seemed to be doing it well in some way, not just keeping busy, but finding new meaning and opportunities to grow. And everywhere we went and we spoke about it, there would be some men in the audience and even some women who asked, well, when are you going to talk about men? And when we looked into that, it was fascinating because the books for men were about financial security, how to improve your golf game, even maybe how to mix a better martini. But nothing that talked about the same things we were addressing with women. How are people dealing with this very much longer life that they can look forward to than their forebears?
Now, why do men have their own set of challenges facing retirement? Get into some of those details from your experience.
Well, for men, it's a very different thing. Very often, almost universally, men identify so strongly with the work that they do that when they're finished with that, by their own choice or by the choice of employers who now want younger people in those jobs, or the jobs even themselves go away, it's a new world. And when they're left without it, they're not too sure who they are necessarily. So they're looking forward to a long time. They've been told for most of their youth, when some challenge comes along, well, man up, handle it, instead of being able to maybe seek help when they need it. Women leave work or not work for many years with a cadre of friends. They find social contacts so easily, and they usually, a woman can get on a bus and have a best friend by the time she gets off, and they will have shared all kinds of confidences. Men don't usually have that social support. They may have it in a spouse, for whom it might be a very new thing when that man is home. You know, there's the old joke, I married him for better or worse, but not for lunch. And so here he is with not much to do and finding himself, finding out who he is and who he can be and who he might explore being is a great, great opportunity for a man who is coming into those retirement years.
Really some good information there. Now, can you give us a few examples of men who've rewritten their own playbook on retiring and why they are inspiring?
Yes. Well, there are the stories in their own words of men in the book, The New Senior Man, who range from an eighth grade education to PhD, men who range from having almost no money at all, literally, in their retirement, to people who are relatively comfortable. Those don't seem to be the factors that make for a really successful time of life. But the people who have resilience, who are able to explore, we met people who had been firemen, who had been policemen, who had been professors, doctors, all kinds of people, but who were able to find a new passion or develop an old one. One man in the book who is still writing in his 80s found something that he had started writing when he was very young and thought, you know, I ought to give this another try. And he has produced a whole wonderful set of stories about seniors, fiction, and he's still doing it. And we have someone whose first opera was actually produced. He was a music professor, but he had never written an opera, in his 70s. A man who is 100 years old, 100 years old, very limited now with vision and hearing, but still will lecture on scientific subjects in his community because it fascinates him to do that. And he's a wonderful presence in that community. People who find all kinds of different ways not to imitate, but to inspire. I particularly love a man in his 90s who was known as Dada, and who came from India years ago and retired here to be near his children, having taken care of his wife, who really talks about the difference between pain and suffering. It's not that in his 90s he is not experiencing pain, but he says that's just not the same as suffering, which is something really that has changed my own mind about physical challenges that we meet when we're older.
Some really good examples there. Thanks for sharing. Now, why do you think retirement is changing so much today?
Well, everything is changing, and at a pace that we're not used to. But one of the wonderful things that's amazing is people have a lot of fears, understandably, about the physical changes they will go through as they age, because they're going to age. They have an opportunity to age that was never there before. But what's happening is diagnoses that once sounded so ominous, the disease would be fatal, now mean you may have a chronic condition to live with for years successfully. So that's a very big change, a very big adjustment in life, to be able to live with whatever the condition is instead of to die from it in your 60s, 70s, or even 80s. So this is a big change. The opportunities that the internet brings for people who aren't getting around as much or who want to explore new possibilities, to be able to sit at the computer and learn without going out to the library. People who grew up with the Encyclopedia Britannica at home know that they don't need that library anymore. It's all at their fingertips. it's a very exciting time, and watching the new, every new invention that comes along is thrilling. One of the things to look out for, though, for men particularly, is isolation. This is really more of a threat than physical illness. So that men who are heading into their retirement years, and we've got to find a new name for that, but men who are aging and are alone need to absolutely enlarge their social circles. They need to be with other people. They need to volunteer. That's one way to do it. They need friends, and they need to learn to be more open with each other. We visited a men's group when we started this project that had been meeting for years in New York. And when we sat down in this circle of men, there were 23 of them, the first man on my partner's left turned to her and said, "Well, you want to talk about senility or virility?" And we got the idea. We got the idea that they were, these are two things that were very much on their minds, and we addressed them in the book too.
Certainly sounds like a must read, no doubt. Today we're speaking with Dr. Thelma Reese, author of The New Senior Man, Exploring New Horizons, New Opportunities, here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Reese, did you find that men dealt with intimacy and sex differently than the preceding generation, and why?
Definitely. First of all, because there's more information and there's more openness about the whole subject. And those who are open to new information are dealing with it more successfully. I would caution anybody who's listening, though, as we do in the book, and we talk a lot about sex and intimacy in the book in older years, to realize that just because someone isn't any longer fertile does not mean that they cannot get sexually transmitted diseases. That's on the rise, which is unfortunate, in senior communities, because people think that I'm beyond that. I don't need protection anymore for sexually transmitted diseases, and that's not true. Other than that, there are opportunities to learn the real meaning of intimacy and why it's important in one's life. And it's as much, it's important to remember that the most powerful sex organ is the brain.
And that is definitely true, no doubt. Now, Dr. Reese, what's your advice for a man heading into this next phase of his life?
I think it's to prepare. Prepare in a way that makes you open to new ideas, to thinking about yourself in new ways and how you relate to others. Thinking about, I found this very fascinating, by the way, whenever we talked about the idea of legacy, not one person out of the 100 that we interviewed, and they weren't really interviews, they were conversations, but not one of those men put it in material terms. They start thinking about, what is my legacy in terms of relationships, examples that they set, influence they've had, their own growth. Not one talked about the material things he'd be leaving.
And that certainly is interesting. Now, live alone or live with others, what's the consensus among the men that you've interviewed here?
For the most part, living alone can be done successfully, but being with others, even if not living with others, being with others is absolutely vital in maintaining a good retirement time. Isolation is, as I said earlier, really dangerous for people. It can offer the opportunity and the possibility of depression, and that's something to take very seriously and to seek help for. So living in either a community or with a partner is healthy for people. And if it's the partner that you've been fortunate to have all of your adult life, there are adjustments to be made there too. So, you know, the woman who has said, I married him for better or worse, but not for lunch, has had to adjust. And couples have to find their way to renew their kinds of relationship.
Really been good to have had you, and something that I think everyone needs to think about, certainly looking ahead. And no matter what age you're at, I know it's, if you're younger, it seems to be so far away, but in a flash, you'll be there, no doubt about that. Now, lastly, how can men stand up to ageism, and how is it different for men than women?
Well, it comes as a shock usually to both when they realize suddenly that they're faced with ageism, which is certainly pernicious and there in our society. It's changing a bit. You can see the changes if you're just watching TV and watching the commercials and seeing so many more people with graying hair and a few wrinkles, and realizing that, well, advertisers know now that people who are not very young may even have more money to spend, and spend it in different ways. So society is realizing it. Also, the fact that we're living so much longer makes older people so much more visible than they ever were. The days of grandpa or grandma being sitting in a rocking chair and being off to one side when everybody gets together are changing definitely. But the first time you're in a conversation with a mixed age group and you say something and eyes roll at the fact that you're older than they are is a shock. I got on the bus the other day, which is free where I live for seniors, and I noticed how many older people were anxiously pulling out their ID cards to show the driver. And I mean, I haven't had to show it for at least 15 years, and I thought, they looked older than I do, but they still are having the illusion that they look too young to get on the bus without showing their ID in order to ride free. So there's a time when ageism may work against you or for you, and you can use it, and it's perfectly okay to do that. But you can feel it in the workplace. You can feel it when you're in a group with a lot of younger people. Not so much very young as people who are fearful of aging, who might be closer to your age. And it's something to be dealt with. It's something not to be ignored. And it's something to bring up. If you're feeling it, for example, in a doctor's office, you should talk about it.
Dr. Reese, really informational. I can't thank you enough for joining us here today to cover this and also your book. Where can listeners not only get further information on your book, The New Senior Man, Exploring New Horizons and New Opportunities, but how could they also not only be in touch, but to make purchase as well?
Well, they can find the book, of course, on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. They can find it at a discount on Roman and Littlefield, the publisher, R&L.com. And They can also find my blog, elderchicks.com, all one word, ELDERCHICKS. We often have men writing on that, by the way. And they can reach me there or through Facebook. It's Dr. Thelma Rees, and I'm delighted to hear from anyone.
Well, Dr. Rees, again, our pleasure to have had you, and thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly has been our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Eric.
And of course, it certainly has been our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Thelma Rees, the author of The New Senior Man, Exploring New Horizons and New Opportunities. And for further details online, visit elderchicks.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.